We're discussing an Antarctic glacier, which is the size of Great Britain, and which new research shows is melting at an alarming rate. Nicknamed the Doomsday Glacier, Thwaites Glacier flows off the west of the Antarctic and is dumping billions of tonnes of ice into the ocean, pushing up global sea levels. The melt has gone on, has gone from 10 billion tonnes of ice a year, 25 years ago, to 80 billion tonnes a year today. The British Antarctic Survey has been mapping warm seawater cavities eating into the glacier, some of which are half the size of the Grand Canyon. Dr. Kelly Hogan from the British Antarctic Survey is one of the team surveying Thwaites, and whose research has been published in the Cryosphere Journal. Kelly is with us from Cambridge in the UK. Thank you and welcome.
Thanks so much. Good morning.
It's never an easy topic to discuss this, is it? But the work is so important, and discuss it we must. You've been to Thwaites, I think. Can you describe the scale of it?
Yeah, I think it's I've been there the past 2 years for about 2 months each time. And I think it is really hard to gauge the scale if you're sitting at home in your armchair. But if you can imagine a cliff face of ice that's about 25 meters tall and it goes on for about 80 miles. So, for us in the ship, or if you're driving your car, you know how long that would take to go along that. But, the most striking thing about being there is that it's so far away from anywhere else. It's about 2,000 kilometers from the nearest research bases. So that takes about 4 or 5 days of really fast sailing or steaming to get there. So when you're there, it just is so huge and so stark, but just feels so remote.
There's images on the website, listeners, if you're near a device, rnz.co.nz, and you can get some idea of it. Just looking at how far it rises above the water, we're talking, what would that be? It looks about 20, 30 metres maybe, but what's happening underneath the water? How deep are we talking? Might have just lost Kelly, I think. Connecting?
Oh, I think I'm here again. Can
you hear
back.
Me? Yes, I was just saying, I'm not sure how tall it is above water. I was sort of guessing 20, 30 metres. You tell me. But also, how deep does it go underwater?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's about 25, 30 metres above the water, but it's about 90 more percent below. So it's almost 10 times as deep as that below the water. So you've got sort of 300 metres below the water as well.
It's massive, absolutely massive. So what's been happening to the scale of melt? The 1990s, we were talking about 10 billion tonnes a year. Had that been pretty consistent for a time?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard for us to know exactly how long that had been consistent for, but we do, everything that we've known from observations before that, we think that it was relatively stable, which means that it was sort of in balance. So the amount of snow falling onto the glacier versus the amount of melt or icebergs that fall off the end of it, was roughly in balance. But over the past 30 years, as you've said, we're seeing this sort of worrying increase in the rate of the ice lost, and it's gone up by the numbers that you've said, more than five times as fast as it was 30 years ago, for sure.
Where does the melt happen? Does it happen above the water and drop into the ocean?
No, it's actually the other way around for West Antarctica. It's one of the biggest causes that we think of the retreat and this accelerated melting there is the warm ocean water getting right up underneath the floating parts of the glacier and where it sort of sits on the seabed, and it actually does the melting underneath. I mean, there is some melting on the surface as well, but by far the largest factor causing the melt is that warm ocean water getting in there and melting underneath the ice and sort of weakening the structure of the glacier as well.
The worry around this is probably carried in its nickname, Doomsday. And on the trajectory it's on, what are the implications?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all concerned about, is what's going to happen in the future to Thwaites Glacier. And because it gets thicker and thicker as it goes down towards the center of Antarctica, the more you melt into it, the more ice you expose to that warm water. So the more you will increase the rate at which you melt. And eventually that could lead to a sort of collapse of the glacier where it's just too thick to be stable anymore. And that could lead to this, what we call a sort of runaway retreat. And, you know, in that situation, if the whole glacier melted, then you would raise global sea levels by about 65 centimeters or 25 inches.
Which doesn't bear thinking about. And that on, again, if you're doing on current modelling, when would that really be a possibility?
Yeah, it's you know, this is a really tricky question to, and this is part of why we're doing all of this fantastic research and modelling in the big programme of work that we're doing right now. But, you know, we're not talking sort of decades, and we're talking sort of a couple of centuries for a total collapse like that. But the problem is with something like Thwaites and the processes we see going on is that once you begin this sort of runaway retreat, you know, there's no chance of reversing it or stopping it. You know, that's what we are keen to find out, when is going to happen, you know, and if and how that's going to happen.
What of accretion? We often hear what can be conflicting situations with melt in some places or collapse in some places and then accretion in other places. What's the story in this part of the Antarctic?
Yeah, the West Antarctic ice sheet is really the most vulnerable part of the Antarctic ice sheet as a whole. And the reason for that really is because it sits below sea level. And so that means it actually just gets thicker and thicker and is sitting already below, you know, the level of the sea. And so as you melt off the front of it, you're just exposing more and more of it to this, to the warm water and to, you know, the possibility of losing ice through melting or carving of icebergs in front of that, which is a bit different from the east side of the continent, which actually, you know, has is fairly stable for now anyway.
So what is causing this? And this gets to the heart of your work. Is it the warming waters themselves, or is there another dynamic at play that's exacerbating?
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate cause is the warm water getting right up close underneath the floating parts of Thwaites Glacier and to where it sits on the bed and to melt the underside of the ice. But what that does, you know, the knock-on effect, if you like, is that, you know, it melts the underside of the ice and the floating parts, and they get weaker and weaker. And as they break off as icebergs or melt off, then it loses the sort of front plug, this sort of floating ice shelf in front of the glacier that we know is there and that has always been there since we've had observations of the ice there. And if it loses that plug, it's like releasing the cork of a bottle. It could allow a much greater sort of acceleration and loss of ice and acceleration melting.
What are these cavities? Are they just part of the process of melt? What are they?
Well, no, the cavities are actually features that we've mapped on the seafloor itself. So, you know, Thwaites Glacier is so far away from everyone, so remote, and it has always been covered with either fast ice, sea ice, or icebergs. So no one's ever been there and mapped out these cavities before, but what they are is hugely deep features. So if you imagine sort of stacking the Eiffel Tower or your Sky Tower, maybe twice upon itself, you know, they're that deep, and they're, you know, up to sort of 10 kilometers or, you know, 6-7 miles wide. And what we did was go there in a ship and then map out where these channels go and lead right the way underneath Thwaites Glacier. So if you imagine those channels carrying huge volumes of warm water right underneath the glacier, you know, they're sort of leading that warm water there. And that's what we need to, you know, in the next phase of research, we need to understand what happens to that warm water and how much it's melting.
They've never been mapped before.
The area that we've been to on the ship has never been accessed by ship before, because it's always been covered with sea ice and frozen icebergs. So, you know, historically, it's never been open. And so for the first time in 2019, there was these really unusual conditions where we had a complete breakout of all these of this sea ice and fast ice. And we could actually go there in the ship and do this mapping.
Is there anything that can be done to combat this, and I'm not talking about sudden radical reversal in emissions or anything else. But as you mentioned, there's a particular dynamic at play with this plug. It's like the protection is just holding on. And is there anything that is credibly being explored to try and protect it somehow, or is it way bigger than anything people can do?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, and some academics have explored the idea of something called geoengineering, where you either build a wall to try to prevent the warm water getting close to the ice and to stop that melting, or build a big sort of spike on the seafloor so the glacier could sit on it and rest on it and become more stable there. But if you consider the size of the channels that we're talking about and how deep the water is and how far away it is, it really is just too remote and would be, unbelievably expensive that it makes it untenable. By far and away, our best chance of tackling the effects going on at Thwaites are to really work towards our, net zero carbon goals with the rest of the world.
Some scientists say it's already too late for this kind of thing.
Well, it's really difficult to say that. That is one of the goals of this science program that we're undertaking at Thwaites Glacier, is to get a much better idea of when these things will happen in our polar regions. But on the other hand, we have to keep working towards these emissions goals, and we have to draw together to do that. Because that is our chance of helping our planet in the future.
The information that you're providing about these particular processes that are happening and about these channels is pivotal to that modelling. Interestingly also, you've learnt a lot about the sea floor, where the ice, I was going to say, connects to rock and sediment, but actually it moves across it, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. It's the ice. If you imagine a glacier, it's like a very slow moving piece of putty or something like that. So it's always moving. And, where we mapped on the seafloor is exactly where Thwaites Glacier used to sit, a few hundreds to thousands of years ago. So what we actually see is sort of the imprint of ice moving over this area left on the seafloor as it sort of lifted up and melted back from that area that we were mapping.
How long is the process of taking all this raw data and information and putting it into models and beginning some projections to guide, well, all sorts of things, really? What sort of time frame are you working to from getting down there and doing this work to being able to produce modelling of use?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's the research program that we're working under is something called the International Thwaites Glacier Collaboration. It's a 5-year program of work, and our two cruises where we did this mapping happened in sort of the first 2 years of that program of work. The next phase obviously is to take all of the observations, not just from the seafloor, but from the ice itself and from the ocean water, and to put those into the computer models. And that would happen towards the end of the project. So in a normal situation, in a few years' time, we'd be getting those good results. But obviously, due to the sort of global situation we're in, some of those observations are being delayed. Yeah. So there may be some delay with that. It doesn't mean that the modelers can't begin their initial sort of setups and use this new seafloor data that we've collected to better model how that warm water gets to Thwaites and exactly what's going to happen. But I suppose we are going to be under a year or two delay.
At the moment, when are you hoping to get back there again?
That's a good question. I've spent the last 2 years, 2 months each year being down there. So for me, our program of collecting data is over down there. But what we are really hoping is that the scientists that are working on the ice and in the other observational projects will be back there, with 1 year delay. So not this coming season, but the next season.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Kelly Hogan from the British Antarctic Survey, speaking to us from Cambridge in the UK. We were talking about the Thwaites Glacier in the West Antarctic.